is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Well, it is the good old summertime. You know what that means. Summer vacations, that's where Dr. Mohler is. Summer camp, atheist camp, we talked about last week a little bit. All kinds of summer camps going on, but also vacation Bible school. This is the time when churches all over the country are trying to reach out to unevangelized children, to win them to Christ, and to disciple children who are already part of our church families. What I want to know from you, what do you think is most effective in reaching children with the gospel? What are some particular pitfalls that you've found in trying to reach the children in your community for Christ? And what are some things that you've found to be effective? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Vacation Bible School and all kinds of other summer outreach efforts to children, these have all changed dramatically over the years. I wouldn't be here if it were not for Vacation Bible School. And yet, Vacation Bible School looks quite a bit different. What should we do to be reaching more children outside of our own orbits with the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How aggressive should we be with children in our community with the gospel? How do we avoid simply giving moral examples to children and instead really reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And how do you know if a child is so young that you can't tell whether or not the child is able to follow after Jesus? How young is too young to really aggressively press the claims of Christ? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're going to talk about the issue of children's evangelism and children's ministry. It's Vacation Bible School time on the Albert Mohler Program. But first, in the news today, Al Gore is preparing for the Live Earth concert series starting tomorrow and is lashing out at his critics who are charging him and charging the others who are participating in this concert with hypocrisy. My favorite headline of the day is CBS News. Gore defends Live Earth concerts, self. And that's exactly what's going on. He is saying this concert really isn't an exercise in hypocrisy, even though the artists who are going to be performing in order to save the earth are going to be flying in on private jets, riding around in limousines. Some of them even sing, like Sheryl Crow, in SUV commercials. And Al Gore says, yeah, but you got to start somewhere. And where do you start to save the planet? With a concert. That's the way now that we are able to save the world, is get our celebrities together and have a concert. There's a group, the Arctic Monkeys. That's kind of ironic, I guess. If Al Gore is right, there will be monkeys in the Arctic not too long from now. But the Arctic Monkeys group say they're not going to do it. One of them, the drummer, Matt Helder, says it's a bit patronizing for us 21-year-olds to start to try to change the world, especially when we're using enough power for 10 houses just for stage lighting. It would be a bit hypocritical. Well, I don't know anything about the Arctic Monkeys, but they make sense on that one. So the concert starts tomorrow, and we will see where it goes from there. Al Gore right now is pretty tied up talking about the situation with his son, and frankly, I kind of have sympathy for him being constantly asked about his son's problems, being pulled over and arrested in the hybrid car going 100 miles per hour. Dr. Mohler and I talked about that a little bit this afternoon, and both of us agree the really remarkable thing of that whole story is that hybrid car can go 100 miles an hour. That's the news that comes out from that story. He can deal with his family problems, and we ought to leave him alone when it comes to that. In other news, Mike Huckabee, Republican presidential candidate, speaking to the National Education Association, teachers union groups, had this to say.
There are a number of people across America who think that having a Republican at the NEA convention is about as out of place as Michael Moore going to the NRA convention.
Well, it is certainly out of place to see Republican presidential candidates speaking to teachers unions that have supported Democratic candidates, well, forever. But it will be interesting to see if he can get a foothold with the NEA and have an audience with what he wants to say. But his competitors for the Republican presidential nomination are having all kinds of troubles today. John McCain running out of cash. ABC News' George Stephanopoulos is reporting that Ron Paul, you know, the quirky libertarian guy who stood up and said America's to blame for the terrorist attacks on September the 11th, he actually has more money on hand than John McCain, who used to be the front runner for the Republican nomination. $2.4 million in cash is what Ron Paul has on hand. John McCain only has $2 million in the bank, and he is laying off staff left and right. Mitt Romney's coming under some criticism right now from the right, from groups such as the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins and others, saying that when Romney was a member of the board, of the Marriott Hotel Board from 1992 to 2001, he did nothing to prevent hardcore pornography being shown in being sold through the Marriott Hotel chain. There are some saying that is not an image of family values. Mitt Romney's going to be speaking to that, I'm sure, in the next several days, and clarifying his position on that. There is continual debate over the war in Iraq. As a matter of fact, the president just lost, President Bush, 61st birthday today. Happy birthday, Mr. President. He just lost another Republican senator. Senator Pete Domenici broke with the White House and said, "I can no longer support this war." This is what Senator Domenici said.
"We need a new strategy for Iraq that forces the Iraqi government to do more or else. I'm not calling for an immediate withdrawal from Iraq or a reduction in funding for our troops, but I am calling for a new strategy that will move our troops out of combat operations and on the path to continuing to home."
And in other news, the priest, Episcopal priest, Ann Holmes Redding, Dr. Mohler talked about her a couple of weeks ago, wrote a commentary on his blog about this, has now been given a year's break by her bishop from being a priest. You'll remember she's the Episcopal priest who said, "I'm a Christian and I'm also a Muslim at the same time." Her bishop says that she's going to take a year off. She's not going to be able to serve as a priest for a year. And during that time, she is expected to reflect on the doctrines of the Christian faith, her vocation as a priest, and what I see as the conflicts inherent in professing both Christianity and Islam. And she says she is deeply saddened by this. Episcopal Church, if they give you a year off and tell you need to go sit in your room and think about something for a while, you must really have violated some standard. And apparently even that is too much, even for the Episcopal Church USA. Interesting article in The Independent in the UK about the fashion industry's obsession with size zero. And there are those who are, a new report by the Model Health Inquiry says that this obsession with size zero, with having models who are size zero, could be fueling anorexia in women, and it could be the tip of the iceberg of growing numbers of women with hidden eating disorders. And so you have some groups saying we really need to start thinking about this, the way that we are portraying women's sizes and ideal women's sizes through models who are basically emaciated. I agree with that. I think that is how can that help but create unrealistic expectations? How can that help but create a cult of a false form of beauty across the world? And there's some saying we need to think about this in terms of what we are projecting to the public. I agree. Vacation Bible School, summer evangelism of children. Right now in your neighborhood, you have little boys and girls outside playing, have their sidewalk chalk out, bouncing balls up and down on the sidewalk, riding around on training wheels. And you have churches all over the country trying to reach these kids. How effective do you think we are as churches in reaching our own children? And by that, I don't mean that they're there. There are all kinds of churches that have children everywhere. How do you know when a church is actually effective, evangelistically effective, with children? How will you see that? What should it look like? If you could say, if I could just design an evangelistic strategy in my church to reach our children when you have a culture all around them seeking to take them down, what would it look like? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe your church has a way of reaching children that the Lord has blessed, that you think, yeah, this is the way we ought to do it. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. But do you think we're doing it right? Children's Evangelism, this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Unfortunately, that represents children's ministry in a lot of our evangelical Christian churches. We have an entire generation of children who really represent the time of the judges. There's no king in Israel. Every man does what is right in his own eyes. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. It's summer. Vacation Bible schools are going on all over the country. What I want to know from you, how are we doing as Christians in our churches when it comes to evangelizing children? And what could we be doing differently to reach our kids and the friends of our kids, the kids down the road, so that we actually raise up a new generation of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just through reproduction, but through new birth, a spiritual form of reproduction? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. When it comes to evangelizing our kids, what should we be doing differently in the church? But first, I have a special guest with me today, Ted Tripp, who is a senior pastor of Grace Fellowship Church in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. He is the author of a book that I can commend to everyone called Shepherding a Child's Heart. This is, I think, the best book on parenting available right now, because he gets at the issue of discipline, the issue of formation, beyond simply behavior modification, to really getting at the heart issues. When you have a heart of rebellion, leading that heart to a heart of submission. I was one time in a room. A friend of mine was telling me about a situation he'd had at his home where he had a child who was being brought in by his parents saying, look at little Johnny here. He can recite the catechism. And so this kid is able to just parrot off all of these questions to the catechism. My friend said to the dad, yeah, but he's been disrespecting you and disobeying you all night long. So what if he can memorize some words? He has a heart that's in rebellion against you. Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, is a good way for parents to kind of see how to navigate around that. And so I am very glad to have him join the conversation today. I'd like you to join the conversation. Let me know what you think we can be doing differently to reach our kids with the gospel, not simply with moral truths. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Ted Tripp, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you so much, Russell. I'm happy to be with you.
Well, right now there are vacation Bible schools going on all over the country. How effective do you think VBS and these types of summer evangelistic programs are in reaching kids for Christ?
Well, I think that the effectiveness of them is indexed to a large extent by the two issues. One is the quality of the teachers, whether or not the teachers are incarnating love for God and delight in God themselves. And then the other thing is the quality of the curriculum that's being used. There's an awful lot of teaching to children that is so trite and superficial. And I think we really need to be willing to give large truths to children.
Now, when you say large truths, what do you think a child, maybe say a second grade child, is able to handle?
I think we can talk to second grade children, for example, about the attributes of God. Obviously, you're going to have to break down the attributes of God to a second grade level, but you can talk about the greatness of God and the power of God to children. I was riding along in the car with a five-year-old grandson recently, and he said to me out of the clear blue, he said, "Grandpa, did you know God's dangerous?" I said, "What do you mean, Ben, God's dangerous?" He said, "You know, God can do," he said, "my papa told me God can do anything he wants to do, and no one can stop him." He said, "Now, Papa said God is good, but he's dangerous." Well, I think that's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom for a five-year-old.
Oh, that's exactly right.
And, you know, my son, whose son I was speaking with in the car, he has a phrase that he uses that I think really captures something very excellent. He said, "You know, I want to give my children big truths that they will grow into, not silly, light, trite things that they will outgrow."
What do you think, Pastor Tripp, about kind of the cartoonization of the Bible that we often have, not only in Vacation Bible School and Sunday schools, but in Christian homes, where we take the biblical narrative and turn it into vegetable characters or cuddly teddy bear characters and this kind of thing? Is that helpful in contextualizing the narrative of Scripture, or is that ultimately harmful?
I have real problems with it, and I have real problems with it not because I want to be a doubty person that is harsh or negative, but I think that we trivialize things that are incredibly important, even those Bible narratives that are incredibly important pictures of a God who is purposing to redeem and acting redemptively toward his people, and we trivialize it when we put solemn words in the mouths of asparagus or carrots. I think we need to be talking with our children, obviously in ways that reach them, but we need to not trivialize it with cartoon characters or things that actually put it really in the realm of fairy tales rather than in the realm of reality.
I had a Presbyterian friend tell me one time that he was visiting a very conservative church in his denomination, and he was talking to a group of children. This would have been a very theologically astute, very Bible-believing congregation. And he said to the children as he's gathered around, he mentioned David and Goliath, and no one knew what he was talking about. And he said, "You know, David and Goliath." They didn't know. And he said, "Davy and the giant pickle." Oh, okay, yeah. And everybody knew that from a story that had been given by one of these cartoon programs. And that's really a dangerous place to be in.
Yeah, it is. I was at a program one time where they had Jonah in Mother Goose Land, and the story was that Jonah had been sent to Nineveh. He demurred and headed the other way, ended up in Mother Goose Land for a day. After a day in Mother Goose Land, he ended up going to Nineveh and crying out 39 days and Nineveh will be destroyed.
Oh,
not 40, because, of course, he has lost a day in Mother Goose Land.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you think, do these children, will these little toddlers understand the difference between Mother Goose stories and the Jonah story of this man caught in a fish? They're all going to be a mishmash of fanciful tales in the mind of the child. I think we don't serve our children when we do that.
What do you think? How are we doing at reaching our children with the gospel? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And why do you think it is that it is so hard, it seems these days, to reach children with the gospel? Why are we so hesitant to really press the claims of Christ upon 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. What could we be doing differently? What could we do that could really impact and reach not just adults, but kids and children, not just our children, but lost children of lost parents in our neighborhoods? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore talking to Ted Tripp about children's evangelism and children's ministry. And this is the Albert Mueller Program.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And today we're talking about, it's summertime, it's vacation Bible school time. There are churches all over the country trying to reach children. What I want to know from you, what could we be doing as churches, as members of churches, as families, to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you think we're doing a good job? Are we really reaching our children with the gospel, or are we doing some fancy evangelical behavior modification in our churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. First, I have special guest Ted Tripp, author of Shepherding a Child's Heart, on the line with me today. Pastor Tripp, when you think about vacation Bible school and Sunday school curriculum, you said that one of the most important things is that the curriculum is good, that the teachers are good, and that there's gospel content there. When you think about the fact that so much of what we teach to children happens to be moral truths, Jesus had friends, you have friends. Noah protected animals, you care for pets. All of these different kinds of moral examples. Why do we do that?
I don't know, but I don't know the answer to that question, but you have put your finger on a huge problem with much of the curriculum that is used for children. It reduces the gospel to morality, to moralisms. And so it ends up missing the heart of children and missing the fact that the problem is that I'm someone who loves myself more than I love others, and I need grace. I need God to work within me and to change me and transform me and to give me power to truly love others. We're missing that with all the moralisms.
What would you say to someone who says, look, I'm in a church where I've got the curriculum's here, we all have the same curriculum, and it's really bad, but I'm trying to teach these children and to lead them toward Christ, and I have Jesus shared material. What would you advise that person to do?
Well, I would advise them to work with the curriculum that they have, and you can deepen the material. My wife was in precisely that situation on one occasion where the materials that she had to work with took every incident from the life of Christ, every miracle in the life of Christ, and trivialized the miracle into some moralism to give to children. And she just, taught the same events in the life of Christ, but pointed them to this wonderful God-man who had come to earth to display the love of God and to show us the way to God. And so she kind of reworked the curriculum. She taught the stories that were in the curriculum, but she focused the application in the direction of the gospel rather than in the direction of moralism.
Pastor Tripp, do you think that we can talk to children, young children, about hell and judgment?
I certainly think we can. I think we want to be, with the age of the child, you want to be very guarded you certainly don't want to give nightmares to a two-year-old,
mm-hmm.
but I think we want children to understand that as human beings, we're accountable before God, and God is a just judge, and we need to trust in Jesus and have our sins forgiven and have God change our hearts. I think we can talk to children about those things. We can talk to children about the fact that there are eternal consequences. Like I say, probably you're not going to draw that out in technicolor with a two-year-old, but certainly by the time we're dealing with school-age children, we can talk to them about the fact that there is eternal judgment.
You know, Pastor Tripp, I don't know how many times I don't talk to people who come to Christ later on in life, but they raised a hand at Vacation Bible School or at a Sunday school event where the teacher said, if you love Jesus and you want to go to heaven, raise your hand, pray this prayer. But there was never a mention of sin or redemption or substitution or Jesus, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. And what does the Spirit of God do? The Spirit of God is given to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I think we have to appeal to the conscience of children, as children who have strayed from God's ways like lost sheep, and that God is justly unhappy with that. And we need to find grace and mercy and forgiveness in Christ.
Thank you, Ted Tripp, for being with us on the Albert Mohler Program. Now it's time for you to be with us on the Albert Mohler Program. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Ted Tripp says, and I agree with him, that we've lost Jesus in a lot of our outreach to children. We've lost sin in a lot of our outreach efforts to children. Do you agree? 877-893-TALK, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about Vacation Bible School. Do you think that we are reaching the next generation of children with the gospel? I think there are many churches that are doing this very effectively. I think there are many churches that are not. And I think that Ted Tripp is exactly right when he says, sometimes we're scared to give the gospel to our kids, and we're scared to press our children and the children of the neighborhoods all around us with the claims of the gospel because we're afraid it's too much for them. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. How do you think we're doing with children's ministry, and what can we do that would be better? My intern, Philip Bethencourt, was just telling me about a church he heard about in which they had a session on fruit of the Spirit with children, and said, these are the fruit of the Spirit. You need to learn how to practice these things. Well, of course, they can't. They're lost. They're sinners in need of Christ, in need of the Spirit. Yeah, you need to teach on the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, Spirit of Christ. That means that you teach and preach the gospel, the same gospel that saves adults, saves children. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Roger on the line calling from Hudson, Florida. Roger, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. What's your thought today?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your program and the thoughts that you're bringing out. And my general thought is that we need to raise the bar of expectations with our children today, especially in the church. And I say that on a couple of different levels because in our area there's a small amount of gang activity that's going on. And these young people in the gangs and things, I mean, at a very young age, they're learning how to do drug deals and coordinate things with cell phones. And, you know, the expectation from the gangs is high at a very early level. And we get information from missionary work going on in churches over in India and places like that, where the young people coming to Christ at a very, very early age are already going out on their bicycles and proclaiming the gospel. Mm. And I think because we don't raise the expectation, we don't treat Christianity as, you know, the way the Olympians really strive to excel. And like Timothy from infancy knew the early scriptures, and we call them higher, they only rise to the level that the adults around them call them to. So we need to raise the bar much, much higher. And even if they don't reach it, they're going to get much closer. And I think they're going to set the world an example where these people will look and say, hey, these Christian young people are serious about their commitment to God. But it takes the adults taking it seriously, not just playing a game or, you know, let's have some kind of little, you know, fuzzy vegetables or things like that. I mean, not that that can't be something good with little, very young infants, but once these kids are old enough to reason a little bit, they know their right hand from their left, calling them to get out and serve. And recently there was some tornadoes, and I saw a few church groups that were taking their young people, serving and helping, picking things up, teaching them to, at a baseline level, be servants of Christ. And so that's the gist of what I want to say is we all need to call our young people higher and expect more, and I think they'll surprise us and they'll rise to the occasion.
Roger, I think that's a really interesting point, especially about the high expectations of gangs. And I agree with you, but I think that we don't have to say what this means is that we have children who are diagramming systematic theology propositions on a blackboard. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what you're talking about. It's certainly not what I'm talking about. Instead, it means that we are giving the whole gospel to our children, the whole counsel of God, to the children around us and saying, what we mean by being a Christian is following after Christ. This is what this looks like. You're a sinner. You're in need of redemption, but you can be saved. This is a gospel that really is good news. Good news for kids, too. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. Do you think our churches are doing a good job reaching children with the gospel? And I'm not arguing that our churches aren't reaching children, but are our churches, is your church doing a good job reaching kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that actually transforms lives and generations? 877-893-TALK. We have Marie on the line. Marie, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to. What's your thought on this?
You know, I worked in youth ministry for a while, and I've also lived with several Christian families as a nanny. And the thing that I consistently saw was that parents are sending their kids to Christian schools and church, and they're expecting the teachers at church and school to be instructing their kids about God, and the parents aren't doing it.
Uh-huh.
So what I would say the church needs to do is encourage the parents. You teach your children about God. We are not the experts. You are. Because the kids, if they learn about it at Sunday school and they know their parents go to church, but they never hear anything about their parents' relationship with God during the week, they clue into that. And the older they get, they see that discrepancy and they know it's not that real. It's just a religion. It's something I can choose. So I think the church should really be pushing parents more. You get involved. I'm thinking of the verse in Deuteronomy that talks about writing the scripture on the door frames of your house and talk about them when you go, yeah, when you're in your house and all of it. Like, that's what our parents need to be doing and not waiting for the church to do it.
Yeah, you know, Marie, I saw a cartoon several years ago. I think it was in Leadership Journal that had a little guy being led off by the police, and his mom is standing back behind the police tape yelling, oh, son, where did your youth minister go wrong? I think there are a lot of people who have that kind of attitude, but I think we need children's ministry and we need youth ministry specifically directed to children and to teenagers. And a lot of the time what we have in our neighborhoods that we really need to be focusing on, not just the kids of the people in our churches, but lost kids. I mean, we have kids that we need to be reaching with the gospel who don't have parents who can tell them about Christ, who don't have parents who can apply Deuteronomy chapter 6, specifically because they don't know Christ. How many people have come to know Christ through vacation Bible school, through summer camps of a Christian nature, through outreach attempts by churches during the summertime, really presenting children with an alternative vision of what life can be, life in Christ? This really can be transformative, but we have to do it in a way that really holds up Jesus Christ. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know, do you think we're doing a good job at reaching children with the gospel? 877-893-8255. And if not, then what can we do to change that? What can be done differently? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I think we have a lot of kids right now. Maybe there's some in your car, right behind you, right now. They don't know they're sinners. They don't know the good news. Who's going to tell them? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. And that song might bring memories to your mind. The smell of Play-Doh and those little cookies with a hole in the middle of them and Kool-Aid for snack. If you were part of Vacation Bible School or some other summer outreach attempt to win kids to Christ, I can tell you I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Vacation Bible School. I wasn't saved in a Vacation Bible School, but it was through a Vacation Bible School that I really sensed the gravity of the ministry. I remember being in my home church, lined up marching in with the flags, Vacation Bible School, and sitting there and having our pastor stand up. He wasn't wearing a t-shirt. He wasn't wearing a ball cap. He was wearing a suit. He took this seriously. He treated us with seriousness and gravity and talked to us about the gospel, gave a really compelling gospel presentation, talked to us about missions, talked to us about the Great Commission, really took us seriously as members of the church. It was fun. It was a whole lot of fun. We played Red Rover for an hour or so at a time. We played Duck Duck Goose. But we also had a church that wasn't sophisticated enough to know that they couldn't trust the Bible. And so they gave us the Bible in everything that was there, the whole counsel of God, including the fact that we were sinners and that if we didn't come to know Christ, we were probably, well, no, probably, we're going to hell. And then they gave us the good news of a Lord Jesus Christ who redeems sinners. Now, that home church didn't do everything exactly right, and I wouldn't do it every way that they did it, but they understood the gospel. I think that is really what is essential to calling out children to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply saying, we want to have children who are well-behaved, we want to have children who will fill up our children's ministries, but to say, we've got kids in our neighborhoods, they're listening to voices on the radio, they're living their lives through images on a video screen. Some of them are living in homes in which they're being beaten or neglected. What better thing can we do as a church than to welcome those kids into our midst and say to them, Jesus loves you, this I know. But that means we've got to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that we're not just simply teaching them how to be well behaved. We're making sure that we don't send a generation of children to hell singing, I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-A-S-T-I-E-N. That means gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.